Good afternoon, everybody. The first lecture will be with Dr. Angie about the AIDS, acquired immune deficiency syndrome. As far as we are preaching to African countries, you know, AIDS is a very common and serious problem in most of the African countries. I remember when I was having a training in the United States in the year of 1981. I was a medical student, and in this year, you know, I was having my training in the oncology department. The oncology, the allergic cancer, yeah. And at that time, the professor there told me this case is very rare case of something called Kaposi sarcoma. It's kind of cancer related to the immune deficiency. And till now, we do not know why these people have this kind of immune deficiency of immunity. In the same year, they discovered the virus behind this problem, and since then, the problem, you know, flared up in most of the countries, and specifically in the African countries. So we should face this problem while going here and there in Africa. We need to know many things about AIDS and how to fight it and how to, you know, make some awareness about this problem, because it's really related to the spiritual guidance. You know, AIDS always related to the sexual problems and deviations. So this is the first lecture with Dr. Angie.
Good evening, everybody. First thing, I want to know from you what words come to your mind when you hear the word AIDS. I want just in 30 seconds, and I'll need a timekeeper today. Uncle Rodit, can you be our timekeeper? Okay. In 30 seconds, please turn to one another and just mention the words or the emotion that first come to your mind when you hear the word AIDS. Okay. Can I have one or two of these thoughts? Anybody? Words or emotions first come, yes? Death, okay. Blood, okay. As you all know, maybe the word AIDS stirs up a lot of words and emotions. Some of it may be true and some it's not true, but certainly some of these words like death, weakness, suffer or pain, that will bring us to discover later what it means to those who are living with HIV/AIDS and what their life could be. Let's start with ourselves. What about my attitude? I have to admit that this test is not an easy one. So I need you to just focus also for 30 seconds and to count the number of the letter F. And I need anybody here to help me with counting. After 30 seconds, we will have your votes for the number. Okay, who said 3? Okay, who said 4? Wow. Well, who said 6? Wow, this is one of the most embarrassing things to me, that you are one of the most group that said yes. That it's the true number is the 6, but usually I do not expect that just 1 or 2, maybe 3 maximum, who said that. Why do you think some of us missed letters F while it were before your eyes? I think if we go back to the sentence, you will discover that it is the most obvious one is in the finished and filed and scientific. Maybe most of us missed the 3 and off. And that's what we used to. The reason that we miss it is we read only the big words. We tend to skip over the small, less important ones. And it's exactly the same with the HIV. For years, people in Africa thought that HIV and AIDS wasn't as big a problem as it was said to be, but suddenly it became a huge problem which we cannot ignore any longer. And it's like the big things in our life. It's exactly the same when we appreciate that just when to get over certain age, to finish school, to go to high school, to get married, big decisions in life. But we tend to skip the small things that just like, I'm healthy, I have a family, I have friends. It's good day, even if the weather is just like this weather. Yesterday in Michigan was like minus 12. My relatives won't ever go out in such a very bad weather. And we also need to discover and appreciate that this is the most and the first things that people start to appreciate when they discover or hear that they are HIV positive. They start to appreciate the value of a minute or of a day. Let's challenge you more. I know it's pretty cold, but we'll try to get some excitement. I'll need one to help me in this. Anybody to help here? Let's say that there is a very effective drug which could dramatically increase the lifespan of a person living with HIV has recently been discovered. This drug is not going to cure the person, but instead of living for 8 to 10 years without medication, this person might live for 30 to 40 years before dying from AIDS. He or she will therefore remain HIV positive and could infect people without the necessary precautions. But the government has decided to run a pilot project on this drug. However, the project budget can only fund just one person. And the panel is you here and all the participants has been approached to make recommendation on who would be the most appropriate person to receive this drug. Now, we go to our candidates. First is Mark, a homosexual man. Then we have Anne, which is a healthcare worker. Then we have Julia, which is a domestic worker. Now, we will have just 1 minute to set up our minds and vote, and Bessem will count your votes. Who should award the grant? Must remember that this treatment could mean a longer lifetime for any of the three candidates. 1 minute. The three again, okay, Abuna. Okay, 1 minute. Okay, we can vote. Listen.
Okay, who's voting for Mark? Raise your hands higher. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Okay, 13 for Mark. And Anne? Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31. Okay, 31 and 13. And then Julia? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Okay, 15. So, Anne?
31. Okay, Anne here in this tip is 31. Now we just get a little bit more info. Mark is a surgeon infected by a patient. Has been in a long-term relationship with George, who is a pharmacist. Anne, who is a healthcare worker, is 25 years old, infected sexually. Works in a nightclub after hours to raise income. And has 2 children. Julia, the domestic worker. She's tested HIV positive when applied for a life insurance for a home loan. infected during doing a tattoo. Husband died of TB AIDS related infection. Now we need your vote again.
Okay, so who's voting for Mark now? 1, 2, 3, 4. Tapkulo, decide. Okay? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Okay. And? Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. Okay, and Julia? 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. 25, 26.
Okay, and lastly, now, is Mark and George successful carriers and wealthy? And has no medical aid, cannot get life insurance, and her children will be orphans. Still work at the nightclub as a receptionist. Julia lost her job because they dismissed her. She is an HIV positive. Husband policy paid $50,000. Invited to invest money in her daughter's business. Can we vote lastly?
Okay. So Mark? No vote? One vote for Mark. Okay. Two votes for Mark. Three votes for Mark. Okay. Four? Okay. Four votes for Mark. And Anne? Azamide? Okay. And Julia? 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16. Same.
Thank you. Now can we realize what's going on? We tend to quick judge. How we base our choices on the minimum of information. We can go back, because most of you, I count, I can memorize, when we start, all of you, mostly of you, you gave to Anne. You believe she's still a healthcare worker, she's good for the community, she's a good girl. We immediately, most of you reject Mark. And maybe some of you thought that Julia could be infected through not really good relationship through her work and homes. Then, after some little info, you just surprised that Mark is infected through a patient and Anne is infected sexually. And Julia, during doing a tattoo, so most of you, your votes went to Julia in the second thing. Then, you were shocked to know that Anne, she's just a receptionist in her work, in her after work in the nightclub. So most of you went again to vote for Anne. We need to admit that most of us tend to put people in boxes. For many of us, how a person became an HIV positive is important. Are they guilty or innocent? We need to ask ourselves, what difference does it make how people got infected? What would Jesus do? We need to remember that there were also spit circles in the community by the Pharisees while Jesus on earth, but he overstepped all these boundaries by making friends with those who were unacceptable. And here, we need to start thinking of, when we start of looking for all over Africa for our brothers and sisters, we need to challenge ourselves never to ask the question, how were you infected? Now, we need to know and to go beyond our attitudes. We will go through fastly through the statistics. Most of it from, you can go through the World Health Organization or the United AIDS program. The UNAIDS is the United Nations program for the HIV/AIDS. This is a look, general, very general look to tell you while we go darker, while it's very high prevalence. This is the latest info in 2009 that the world has 33.3 million. And you can know and you can notice that 20 or more, even more, yeah, it's 22.5 out of 33 in sub-Saharan Africa. This is the newly infected, just the newly infected in 2009, 2.6 million in the whole world, 1.8 of them were in South Africa. And this is the adult and the children, this number, it's 1.8 million in the whole world, 1.3 of them, maybe it's not clear, but it's 1.3 of them in the sub-Saharan Africa. Actually, this is a true one for some of the mothers who are HIV positive in their children. And when the statistics, I try to remind myself all the statistics about people. Every figure or graph represents the faces of lives of people, people like you and me, who have family, friends, and loved ones. So, we will go faster here. What is the difference between HIV and AIDS? Maybe some of you know the difference between the two words, but we will try to go fast. HIV is the human immunodeficiency virus. It's the name of the virus. AIDS is the acquired immunodeficiency syndrome. We can see that the AIDS, the syndrome is, it, the name of the virus is HIV, but the name of the disease or the syndrome is the AIDS. After a person has been infected, the virus starts breaking down the immune system, as we see in the story of Popo, if you notice in the video. And then after some time, the person's immune system is so weak and they become susceptible to a variety of opportunistic infections. So a person who is an HIV positive has the virus in their blood and can infect others, but does not yet have AIDS. As time passes, the immune system will be deteriorated as the HIV multiplies and destroy the main kind of white blood cells, which we call CD4 cells. We can go more further in this one other time, but the main white blood cells here named CD4 cells, and the person develop AIDS. Now another question for you. If I was an HIV positive and you were to tell the people when you go home that a person was HIV positive, talk to us today, what will they think? What they think I look like? Can you imagine how people think about the AIDS or person might be? I can have just one opinion or two. Anybody can tell? How people can think of it? Yeah? Anybody can tell how people think about the person have AIDS? How they look like? Whoever just say that her mother will tell her, don't go again. The surprise is the HIV positive person, he looks like anyone. You cannot tell. He read of a red t-shirt, but you cannot tell. It's important to remember that a person living with HIV looks like anyone else. It's only in the very final stages of AIDS, which could be after like 10 years or more, the person will start to have the symptoms people have in mind, like very thin, very weak, have mostly people may have like a cancer, like pneumonia or severe diarrhea. That one also needs your response, but I need really a good response to that. What about this sentence? No one anywhere in the world has ever died of AIDS. Who can say yes and who say no? No? Abuna say no? Anybody say yes? Anybody say yes? Okay, they say that it's not directly. Who says, they could die, but not from the AIDS? Okay, yes, you're right. And that will bring us to how HIV attacks the immune system, and we will try to make it very basic, not really scientific one. Your body is protected. Your body here is the one in red. Your body is protected by the immune system, which made up of white blood cells. They're friends. And the white blood cells are the one in yellow. Mostly the white blood cells, it's your army, which fights always against any disease and viruses. Strong disease makes you sick, but the white blood cells usually win in the end. Maybe some strong disease, you could get a medication, maybe you have a fever, but usually the white blood cells wins. Now, when HIV attacks, it's different, because the HIV is a virus attacks the white blood cells itself. It attacks your army. And after a very long struggle lasting years, HIV kills most of your white blood cells, leaving your body unprotected. That's why when we say in the beginning that it's not really in this process, and you can never know if it's HIV positive is around, even if it's like 2 or 3 years have been infected, maybe after 10 years you can know, because in these years many of other diseases we can call opportunistic infections, and we call it opportunistic because they just make the best chance of this is the right time to attack the body, so they attack the body and they get it. And this one starting to happening, we now can say that the person developed AIDS. We can go over this. This is a progression of infection. Now, opportunistic infection could be swollen glands, mouth infections, skin infections, brain infections, and lung and respiratory tract diseases, or severe weight loss. And this is the graph when somebody has been infected. We see that the viral load is very high in the first 3 months, which is we call the window period. And then after these 3 months, your body will start fighting and will start getting antibodies. So you can see now that the viral load is going down and the antibodies is going up. This will stay for like 8 to 10 years. And in this stage, you have no idea if the person is an HIV positive or not, because there is no symptoms. After this, we can know now that in this 2 to 3 years after this asymptomatic stage, this person starts to have symptoms like coughing, severe diarrhea, pneumonia, and maybe kind of cancer, like Abuna mentioned in the beginning, the Kaposi sarcoma, one of the most common cancers with very serious AIDS cases. And that, in this graph, we can know how we can test the HIV positive person. We have like one of three ways. We even start with the simplest one, which is the antibodies test. This is a very simple test. It tests the antibody in your blood, but you cannot depend on it in the first 3 months. If you test in the like today that you are negative, you have to test again after 3 months, because the antibodies does not appear in your blood before 3 months. The viral load one is a very expensive one. It costs like $75, and it's very expensive for most of the people. The CD4 count is the count of the white blood cells, and mostly people go for this test when they just have to decide whether they put a person under treatment or not. Most of the countries have protocol not to put any patient under antiretroviral treatment, which is a treatment, but they just wait till this count of CD4 cells go below 200. The normal person has 200 to 2000 in 1 milliliter of blood. When they start this CD4 count start to go below 200, they start to put the person under antiretroviral. And I can say here that many people here in Egypt, I saw they are suffering, that they are just waiting for the government to test their CD4 count, and they just try to prove that they have been sick for a very long time. How is HIV transmitted? He needs certain body fluids and certain conditions. There are a lot of body fluids in our body, but some of them have a very high concentration of the virus and the other are not. The high concentration usually are for the blood and the semen, the vaginal fluid, and the breast milk. The low or no HIV evidence concentration is saliva and tears, sweat and urine. And from here you can know how it is transmitted. That's why the unprotected sexual relationships ranking a very high percentage, because here you have semen and vaginal fluid and maybe have blood. It needs certain conditions. It needs a body temperature, moist environment, and no contact with the atmosphere. The HIV is one of the things that people don't know. It's a very, very, very weak virus. It cannot stand in the air for 2 minutes. Otherwise, if you know that people who are suffering from hepatitis C, the blood in any instrument can be affect other persons. Other person could be infected with instrument, have a blood with the HCV, which is hepatitis C, but not with the HIV. HIV is a very, very weak virus. If you put one drop of blood in an air, it is not infected anymore. The ways of transmitting HIV is through these three main ways: sexual activity, mother to baby, and the blood. Any of you can predict the percentage worldwide or in Africa, which ways are the most higher one? Mother to baby? Sexual activities. Okay. Yes, it's in the blood products. It just infects for 2% through blood transfusion, needle pricks, or intravenous drug use. The mother to baby is just 10%. And this percentage is also, it's applicable in Africa. Most of the industrial countries have a higher rate of drug use, a higher rate of breast feeding, but in Africa, it's just 2% through blood, 10% through mother. And in mother to baby, I want to just mention that it's mostly through the birth. The pregnancy or the breastfeeding must be in the stage of the mother have a very high viral load, which is in the beginning of the infection, as we just mentioned on the graph, or in the latest stage of the AIDS, when the viral load starts to go up again. So if she is pregnant and she got infected, maybe she can get it to the baby, but this is a very small percentage. Also the breastfeeding, because the breast, the milk has proteins which affects the virus. So it's not just in the beginning or in the end. It may be also through the bears, which is the most common way, through the delivery itself, through blood exchange between the baby and the mother during the delivery, or maybe if the baby has any mouth infection and get in contact with the blood or the vaginal fluid of the mother during the delivery. The sexual activity is 87%, and this is in Africa. This percentage it is in our continent. And the surprising thing that the homosexual activity is less than 1%. Maybe that's why most of you didn't go to Mark in the beginning of the game, because you thought he is infected through his activity as a homosexual guy, but he was infected by a patient. How it's not transmitted? You need not to worry. Social contact, being in one bus with any number of persons who are infected, will not affect you. Sharing any tools for food or drink will not affect you. Hugging or kissing or have any social life with your family will not affect you. Also, the sports activity cannot affect you. Toilet seats also does not affect you, because as we say that it's a very weak virus, even if there is a blood on the toilet seat, it cannot stay in the air. When we mention the word treatment, this is a very, very big issue, but if we can see that treatment is something different than cure, there is no cure, unfortunately, for people who are suffering from HIV/AIDS, but there is a treatment. When we say treatment, we see a word is most people know it as antiretroviral therapy. And this therapy is just try to build the immune system, try to help the person to just cope with his status as an HIV positive, try to make his health better, try to fight the symptoms of the opportunistic infections. Now, and this is our main concern here about us as Christians, how should we as Christians respond to HIV and AIDS? I don't know if any of you heard about, like, 1 month ago, there was a big issue in South Africa on the 1st of November when a pastor starts his weekly Sunday sermon in the church saying these words. Just 1 month before the World AIDS Day, which is the 1st of December, he just started telling people, you know, Jesus, while on earth, he was an HIV positive. And I can tell you that the whole country went upside down for 2 weeks. And they started to attack him, and this pastor was really in trouble. And then he started to appear again and talk again to people, and to try to say what we were talking in the beginning. He just exaggerated. He used the metaphor to tell them that, please, wait. Jesus was there with the marginalized, with the most stigmatized people, with the most people who are rejected in the community. Maybe there are innocent people who are got infected through any other way. Stop, stop, please. He begged them, please stop. Put stigma on people. And otherwise, people start to talk to him. And after that, hundreds and hundreds of church pastors went for an HIV test to just encourage people to know their status and to try to suppress the destigmatization in the whole South Africa. Our guiding principles is really important, and when you go to serve in most of the African countries and we go to start to help people to know more and to get their eyes towards the issue, you need to make very, very highlight on the guiding principles of the Bible. Our motivation in this, it's like main guiding principles, and really we need to keep it in our mind. In the 2 Chronicles 5:14, and I can tell you that these principles really can change our perspective about the issue. Who can say what is in 2 Chronicles 5:14? We need to memorize these verses, so maybe we will think about it. We will memorize them afterwards. Anybody to help? Second Chronicles 5:14. Yes, Amira. Yeah. Can you raise your voice? Yeah. Yes, thank you. It's to be compelled by the love of Christ. How to be compelled by the love of Christ? The second thing is our attitude towards people, which is Romans 15, verse 7. Anybody to get it? Our attitude? Okay. Okay. It's to accept as Christ accept us. Akbalo bada kumbadan. Then our service. To serve God in practical acts of love and compassion. Our search for answers and solutions in James 3:17. It must be with wisdom from heaven. Our responsibility in Ephesians 4:15 is to break the silence, to speak the truth in love. Sadiqina fil mahabba. And our hope, to believe is to have hope. Then our identity, this is very common one, 1 Corinthians 12:12. لَأَنَّنَا عَضَاءَ الْجِسْمِ نَحْنُ عَضَاءَ الْمَسِيحِ الْجَسَدِ الْوَاحِدِ. We are the body of Christ. Then our task, to be Christ ambassadors everywhere we go. These are some of the slogans you can use later in your service. The ABCD one is, the abstinence, be faithful, condoms, and disease control. And instead of the safe sex, which the UN organization use, we use safe sex. Safer sex, abstinence, voluntary testing, and empowerment. And this is how what the secular world say, only by confronting stigma and discrimination we will fight against AIDS. So what should we as Christians do? Remember that your way will not be easy all the time. You will be faced by the emotional needs and the pastoral care of the four phases which a person passed through, which is the shock, then the reality, and then the remembering, and then the coping. You will be faced by a lot of discussion and debates about condoms, and we can talk later about this and in another day, about what we can do through this. Shall we as Christians use condoms or not? And this is a very, very big debate. Lawful and unlawful sex versus safe and unsafe. It can be lawful, as the Bible says, but it could be unprotected. So it's not really fair to your partner. And it could be unlawful. So unlawful just before marriage or even the person is not married at all, but it could be safe. And how can you debate with people with that? Between cultural and religious practices. And you will be also faced by this question, AIDS is God's punishment for immortality. Discrimination, silence, and stigma is the three major issues we need to focus and we need to talk about. You will be faced by the issue is to know or not to know your status. And I can tell you at this stage that many, many, you can face a lot of people who are really afraid to know their status. And I can tell you that this is a true slide. This is my test, my personal test. And I can tell you that when to live in a country like South Africa, the highest prevalence in the whole world for 3 months, you can doubt yourself when you cut your finger, when you go to a dentist, and when you can go to make a test, you really need a support. You really need a pre-counseling and post-counseling test. And you really need to talk to people who will you serve that they have to know their status. But after they go, you need to empower them. You need to give them a lot of counseling. You need to tell them how can they really can go in their life after they know. And lastly, from vision to action. And in your service, you need to do some steps. Maybe you need to like to have an HIV/AIDS team to make a situational analysis, identifying the issues, making strategic choices, and developing objectives and activities, and then monitoring. And these objectives, it could start by a very small sports day for the kids in any country, and it could end by like applying for a proposal with millions of dollars to like a Christian Aid or a Church of Scotland to give you money and to help you how to start a raising awareness program in any of the churches you will be serving in Africa. Today was just an introduction, but we all need to know more. It's our attitude, how to break the ice of people, how to challenge them as we did today. This was the start. How to go more than the basics with them, to share statistics, and we cover most of these topics, but you need to go more with people. You need to help them how to discover the faces and the needs of them, and not just this, to help them in the fourth stage of their diagnosis to acceptance, to help them to live positively with HIV and AIDS, and to get to know what is the treatment. Then you need to develop their Christian response, to focus on the guidelines, to fight the stigma, and to explaining the counseling and pastoral needs of HIV infected and also affected people, because their families are also has been in a very, very emotional need of support. Then you need to look around in their communities. Is there any organizations who are helping with the issue? And to start to go this. Even here in Egypt, we can one time host a person who is an HIV positive to tell his history. And then you need to mobilize your church to be a channel of hope, and whether here in your country or in the country you serve. I want to end with this, that our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter. And you can really apply this not just in HIV/AIDS issue, but in anything. This is the song was written by a pastor in South Africa against the HIV/AIDS. And this mother who taught me this song, she was an HIV-positive mother with her kids. It says that if you believe and I take heed, united against AIDS, with love and care, we will conquer all South Africa will be saved. With love and care, we will conquer all South Africa will be saved. If you believe and I take heed, united against AIDS, we will fight our fears with truth and love. All Africa will be saved. With love and care, we will conquer all Africa, and Africa will be saved. Today, believe. Today, take heed, united with us, and pray. With hearts inspired, we will heed the call, for God will lead the way. With hearts inspired, we will heed the call. The whole world will be saved. Remember that we are the body of Christ. If one member suffered, we all suffer. And the body of Christ has AIDS. We pray that God will help us to accept as Christ accepted. Live as the body of Christ. Be compelled by the love of Christ. Speak the truth in love. Find wisdom from heaven. Be ambassadors of Christ, and start practically to help people everywhere. May we be channels of God's hope. Thank you.
Thank you, Angie. It's really great. I think it is a very rich one, and I guess we need to know the AIDS statistics in each country we're going to, because it's very essential in our programs. I heard that Burundi, which one of our target countries, has like 60% HIV positive in their population. I'm not sure of the number, but I think it's true. So actually one of the homework we need to study the status of AIDS in whatever country we are going to. I think we have to put this in our program in any country. Thank you, Angie. Again, it's very good.